Right, so this morning, it's always interesting this time of year, né? First service of 2025. So you must check yourselves when you write the dates now. Don't write 2024, which is what I'm probably going to do. But in any case, it's a new year, and I always, you know, when we head to sort of you hit Christmas and then you get to New Year's and so on. And you know, we make a big thing of it, and I was just so mindful that for us, yes, this is a big new thing, it's a new year, but God's plan still stands. You know, he's still on the way with you. He still wants to do something with your life, and the ticking of the year doesn't, except maybe that you turning a year older somewhere. So for those don't know, me and Gina have our birthdays on the 31st of December, so we literally finish off the year. Okay, so if you want to have anything to do or you want to do anything in 2025, do it before we have our birthdays. Otherwise, you missed it. And, you know, as we all look down this year, there's so much hope, expectation, you know, what's going to happen, what is in there. If I look back at last year, it was a year that I didn't see coming, but it was a good year. For God's purposes and my plan and his plans for me were still done, and I had the privilege of walking with God through the whole of 2024, which only means that 2025 can just be way different, way more blessed. And I'm sure over this festive season, many of you have sat around big tables, having lots of stuff on their tables to eat. If you have a squin ma like me, then you know when you get there, it's like, ma, just make one dish. She never listens. How do you train your parents? In any case, and then you get there, and instead of the one dish, and I mean, there's so much that to eat that, you know, it's definitely not a weight loss program. Who have you picked up weight? Oh, don't put up your hands. Laurette was saying, because we literally leaving tomorrow morning to go on holiday for this week, and she was going, yeah, no, we're just going to do a detox, you know, and berries and stuff, and I'm like, oh, heck no, that's not even close, okay? I'm going to just take Christmas a bit further. We're going to just, I'll start on the 13th, is that okay? Okay, I've got witnesses, a lot of heads nodding, you know, everybody's saying, on the 13th, so we'll strike. All right. Yeah, fast food, yeah, okay, whatever. But I think you would agree with me that, you know, just sitting around a table with those that you love, with maybe family or friends, is always a special time. It's always a time, you know, even in our culture, if you invite someone over and you sit around a table, there's just something different about sitting around a table. You can sit in your lounge and have a care and so on. But the moment you go and you sit down next to a meal, it just changes everything. It's that kind of place where when you get together in that manner, it's just, you know, it's a different place. It's a different space. You possibly even see each other differently. Now, maybe, I don't know what your family's like, so maybe it's not a good place to sit around the table with your family. But I'm sure there's other people. Okay, if your family is not those, I pray that God will intervene and he will touch you and your family and there will be restoration and blessing and healing. But there is those times where you sit around the table and you just care, man. You're just you. Everybody can see how you eat. Yeah. Especially your wife's like, you know, noch helping for really. But it's, around a table, it's often, you know, walls are broken down because it's just a different place of discussion, a different place of how we even see one another. And before the meal, there's a lot of preparation, meticulous preparation. And you would know over this festive season, how many of you were on WhatsApp groups organizing every little detail, especially the women. I mean, the men, I mean, come on, you just pitch to eat. I understand that. I mean, we have a function, don't we? Yeah, where they invite the men to consume what the women have prepared, right? Yes, yeah, it's quiet. Oh, my. They just scared of their wives. That's what. They still can't move. Okay. I mean, the food and the decor and there's just a lot of thought that goes in there. There's a lot of money that's spent in preparation for this, and all the shops know this, so they put the extra 20% on over this time. But yet we spend the money, we get everything ready to sit around that table, because having a meal is special. Having a meal with those that we love is special. Even if you don't really like them, it's still special. And even the occasion maybe that you're celebrating like we did in this last part of the year is special. And obviously, once you've set the table and everything is prepared, there's that anticipation for the guests to arrive. Many a wife or a woman at that point starts freaking out because they remember everything they should have done and haven't done. But there's this expectation to have this meal with the ones that we care for, that the ones we want to know. You know, maybe sometimes you invite some people over because you simply want to get to know them better. And it's no better place to do it than around the table. It's just a different care. It's just a different thing to do. And sadly, I think if I look at today's life, it seems like even in families that the art of sitting around a table as a family and having supper has kind of gotten lost. Why? Because life has become extremely busy. I mean, I must commend my wife. She's always the one that fights for, no, let's sit around the table. Because you know what? Sometimes we'll have supper just sitting on the couches. I mean, we're together, you know, and the feet is up and we're sitting there eating. But it's just different when we sit around the table. So if your family or your household don't have those suppers anymore around the table, I want to say to you, put that back in your routine. And you will see how that transforms just your relationships around the table. Now, I know and understand when the kids are smaller, I mean, it turns out to just about a full-scale war because he's not eating those erkies. And he needs to eat the erkies. Gives him curly hair or something. I'm not sure. Why do we eat erkies? That's nice. There's nothing nice on the erkie. It's just green. It's like eating a tree. Okay, so I've got issues. Okay, so. But the truth is. Yeah, and I'm talking about broccoli and all the other good things. You know, it's all cancer due to a lack of interest in my house. But if we look at our families today, isn't our meals sometimes, you know, something quick on the way somewhere? I remember when the ladies were still at school and, you know, they had these different things on. It would be, pulling at, okay, buy two pies and a cool drink or two and then eat, let's go. And I mean, then they still want to shop. Hey, Papa, can I? I'm like, no, we need to focus, boys. We need to get. And it's sad. You know, when it comes to the evening, there's homework and there's preparation and it's just stuff, man. So I want to challenge you, if you have not been sitting around the table with the ones that you love or those that are in your house, then make a point of doing that. Because again, there's just something special about sitting around the table. But have you considered that this is God's very desire for you and me? Revelation 3:20 shows this to us. And I think sometimes in our relationship with God, we miss the fact that He's a God who is really intimate and desires to spend incredible time with you. And sometimes it needs to be around a table. So, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. Now, Revelation 3, I mean, this is obviously where the churches are addressed, and this portion is where he addresses Laodicea. I just want to get there. And verse 14 of Revelation 3 says this: write this letter to the angel of the church of Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do. This is not on my slides, but I want to say to you, God knows everything that you do, everything that you are busy with. And then he continues, and this is not a good message for this church, but he says that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were the one or the other, but since you are lukewarm, like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And this church that he's writing to here, God is looking at them and he's saying, listen, I know everything that you're about. I know everything that you are busy with, but your busyness is just lukewarmness. It's not what I desire from you. You are running to and fro. Frantic chickens, you know, headless chickens. My dad, I don't know if you know what's the story with the headless chicken, but in any case, we're running around, and he goes and he looks and he says, listen, church, this is not what things are about. Be hot, or rather be cold, but don't do this lukewarm thing. This in the middle where I'm trying to please everything and everybody around me. I'm just, you know, saying yes to everything, and no is not in my vocabulary anymore. And the funny thing is when you say to people, you know, you need to learn to say no, often, more often than not, they say no to the eternal stuff. It is my experience in church, when people are really going through a tough time, it's often that they say, listen, no, I can't serve anymore. I can't be there. I can't help. I can't disciple. I can't reach out. I can't be at small group because the other stuff is just taking up my time. Is that not lukewarmness? And this is God's issue with this church. He's saying, listen, you're running around. And then he gets to verse 20. He says, hey, listen, I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, someone, please hear my voice and invite me in, because I want to spend time with you. The New Living Translation says this of verse 20. It says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. So God doesn't want to come knock on your door and want to just accuse you of stuff. He is, if we look at verse 20, he says, I want to dine with you like a friend, man. I want to sit around the table with you. I want to commune with you. I want to laugh with you. I want to make jokes with you. And I'm sure when you saw the title of a sermon going knock, knock, everybody wanted to do who's there. So I want to say Jesus. Don't say Jesus who. So then I'll give an altar call so that you can come and give your life to Jesus. I can introduce him to you. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and he wants to meet with you. So I want you now, just for a moment, to set aside all your concerns and plans for this year. The truth is, you don't have this year. You have the possibility of this year. Because as we sit here, none of us know for sure that we're going to see the 31st of December. I'm very aware that if God is done with me, I'm not seeing the 31st. I'm checking out. I'm walking through the pearly gates. Mwah! Goodbye. Is that too straight? But none of us know. The actual fact is, you don't even have tomorrow. I'm planning to go and leave tomorrow, but I don't have tomorrow. I'm planning for it, but I don't have it. an actual fact, I don't even have lunch today. It's a possibility of having lunch. Yes. I'm not trying to think now what we're eating for lunch. Ah! There's a Philistine in the house. Chuck him out. But if you look at this year, if you look at today, if you look at what God wants to do, can you hear the knock? Can you hear the knock on your door? Because Jesus is standing outside. And he simply wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to see you. He wants to hear you. He wants to love you. I guess the question is, will you open the door? Or on the 5th of December, January, sin, we just need to click. On the 5th of January, are you already too busy to open the door for your friend who wants to have a meal with you? Scripture continually paints this picture of God wanting to sit around a table with his people. I mean, Moses and the elders had supper with him on a mountain. Feast with God. Come on. Where there's no cell phones, no diaries, no schedules, no worries. You know, to him, I guess some of that stuff is important, but you know that you are more important than your diary, than your plans. You are more important than that cell phone that so often distracts you even from communion with him. Or maybe your PC, or that deadline, or the lack of a deadline. Maybe you just want a deadline because that means you have something to work towards. And Jesus is desiring intimacy with you. In fact, according to Psalm 23, he sets a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I love this. I really do. It says, you prepare a feast. I'm there. All you that are on a diet, you're not going to make it there. Sorry. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. And you know, when I read that, I can see their frowny faces standing there, looking at me, sitting with that big piece of chop, or hoenderbouki or something. And they can just look. He didn't set the table for them. He's setting the table for me. And he says to them, you watch how I bless this guy. In the midst of your persecution, in the midst of the stuff that you want, in the midst of your hatred towards my son, I'm setting a table for him. I almost want to say, we're like a pela. Listen, if I meet Jesus one day and he does that, it's going to be an awesome day. And then he carries on. He says, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. You know, scripture, that anointing was to set someone apart, to put them in place. The oil was often poured out over sheep's head to protect them from the bugs and the stuff. So oil is a significant thing here. And he anoints my head with oil. He says, I'm choosing you. I'm setting you apart. You are my son and my daughter. I want to say to you this year, God wants to pour out his oil over you and say to you, I've set you apart. You're sitting around my table. And I just want to bless you. And then he continues. He says, my cup overflows with blessings. I'm sure each one of us that are sitting here today desires the blessings for this year. The abundance that God has set out for us. I want to say to you, it's nowhere else to be found but by the table. It's not in your frantic running around and you're trying to figure out what life is about. Because just like last year, before you, you know, wipe out your eyes, you're in December again. And you're walking in the mall and you're looking at these things that you want to buy for people. And it's going, why? How did we get here? Whew, man, there's so much opportunity. There's so much blessings between here and the 31st of December of this year. We're going to enjoy it. Around God's table are the answers that you are looking for. Around His table is the victory over the enemy, over your enemies that you so desire and that you so desperately need. Around His table there is also provision. There's also the anointing and the overflow that you search for. And according to Revelation 3, verse 20, there's also close friendship around that table, which you so desperately desire. Because sometimes you feel so alone. That friendship is around that table. Because He says He wants to dine with you as friends. So maybe you should just slow down. Maybe you should press that pause button. And maybe you should just open the door. Because Jesus wants to have a meal with you. He wants to look you in the eyes. He wants to see you. Well, He knows you. Incredible thing is, if you think of it, the flip side, He knows everything about you. He doesn't need the meal, but you do. Isaiah 40 verse 28 to 31 says this, have you not known and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. Oh, you need to listen to this very carefully. The Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Ha! Come on. Even youth shall faint. Oh man, this is good news to me. All you 45 plusers. Because I know at 40 you suddenly feel like, it's not working as it should. Okay? But you know, we look at Cynthia and she's just like, there's lots of oil. She's been anointed. She can run and not get weary. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall fall exhausted. Oh, come on. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come, just tap someone next to you and say, listen, this is really good news. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the one that you serve is almighty, all-powerful, the King of kings and the Lord of lords? There's nothing that is over Him, above Him, or anything else. He is the one that rules and reigns. And He's the one that wants to have supper with you. Every day. Not just Sundays. He is the everlasting God. He's the Creator of the ends of the earth. Everything that you see, experience in this world, He's made. That's a bit bigger than who you and I am. We can't even make sure our diary works. And He's got this whole creation sorted, and the galaxies, and everything. He just keeps it into place with His word. It's like near Stariki Bikilungs. Stay. Sun, meaning the sun. You're not getting closer to the earth, you stay where you are. I like those people. He does not faint. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We can spend our lifetimes trying to get to know him. We'll never know him because he's just so much more. He gives power to those that are faint. To him that has no might, he increases their might. So if you, maybe you walked out of 2024 and you're into this year now and you're going like, I'm already tired. Well, this scripture is for you. This God is for you. He's the one that wants to increase your might and your strength. And what do you need to do? Wait. I often say this, and you've heard me say this, I just have one problem with waiting. And it's waiting. We are impatient, aren't we? In our culture, in our world currently, everything is instant. You don't even go to the shops anymore. You 60-60 it. As your uchis ate fear, then it's at your door. Or take a lot. I mean, take a lot is there. I just want to say to you, if I look at the scripture, then I want to say to you that heaven has no short supply. God has not got short supply of everything that you and I need to go through this year, to go through the rest of our lives and make it gloriously to the other side. God has not run out of resources. He's got an abundance. He's got storehouses full for you and me just to enjoy. But the access to it's around the table. Are you waiting on him? Have you invited him in? Are you having a feast with him? If so, then he will renew your strength. Without that strength, you will have no power. You will have no strength. And you will faint. Without his renewal, you will become weary. And you will become exhausted. But when you wait on him, your strength will be renewed. His power will become your power. His unlimited understanding will be revealed to you. All the questions that we sit with, he has the knowledge, the understanding, and everything which he just wants to tell you, if you will wait. And then you will definitely run like there's no end. You know, the scripture really, really blesses me because I felt weary and stuff at the end of 2024. My wife was doing CPR. Live, Gubas. It's just how I felt. I was just like, puchoy. And this blesses me because I realize it doesn't matter what this world, what this life throws at me. God has got everything that I need. And he's standing at the door and he's knocking. See, if you want to see today as the door to the rest of this year, then hear the knock on your door. This year can be about many things. You can plan it to the T. You can have that spreadsheet fully populated. Bless those that work with spreadsheet. And for the rest of us, they just wing it. He is still in control of the wingers. I must just say this, no? I'm so glad God's not just into one thing, you know, it's just only the spreadsheet that matters. But for guys like me that go left when I probably should have done something else, it's just like, I love you, my son, let's do this. I'm with you. Come picky rechts. See, as we sit here, and I said this in the beginning, we have no clue what this year holds for us. But my prayer this morning is that you will hear the knock and that you will open the door and that you will have a feast with your friend. Have you set the table? Have you set the table? Are you anticipating the knock on the door? Because here's the truth, he's knocking. And maybe your stuff, your pain, your past, maybe just whatever you're busy with is hindering you from hearing the knock on the door.